This episode brought to you by Gray Block Pizza. Gray Block. Now, you know what it is. Imagine, say if you're trapped in a wishing well, you know, but there's no wishes in it because something happened with the way it was built and they had asbestos and they couldn't put any wishes in there. And you can have one person throw something down that wishing well and you can catch it in your mouth. Guess what that's going to be? I'll tell you what it's going to be. Gray Block Pizza, 1811 Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles on the way to the beach. Gray Block, get that hitter. I want to let you guys know that I will be coming June 15th and 16th to Yuck Yucks in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. June 23rd, Timbler Brewing Company, Bakersfield, they added an extra show. June 29th, Paramount Theater, Stark County, Wyoming, Illinois. And July 6th through 8th, Levity Live in Oxnard, California. July 20th through 22nd, Charlie Goodnight's Raleigh, North Carolina. And other dates, they're all on the website, theovon.com/tour. I want to tell you about a new company called Spectre. Spectre, a binary options trading platform that takes the middleman out of trading. Okay, it's all crypto-based, so transactions happen on the blockchain, man. Where you at? I'm on the blockchain, John. Meaning there is no broker that could potentially interfere or rip you off or mess things up or wear a pesky suit that you don't like in bad cologne. Those days are over. Try the demo today at the link below and in the episode notes. It comes with $60,000 in cryptocurrency for you to play with. You want to trade U.S. dollars for Japanese yen? Click the Spectre link. If you want to trade British pounds for euros, click the Spectre link. If you want to trade cryptos or just learn about cryptocurrency or about trading in general, you can click the Spectre link. Try the demo at the Spectre link below and in the episode notes. And within minutes, you'll feel like a Wall Street trader with all the tools that the big dogs use. Once you get the hang of it, sign up for a verified account and start making real trades with real money. Sorry, America. Real trades are for outside the United States only, and they will check where you are from. Okay? So click the Spectre link, get involved, know what's going on. Crypto is the new thing, okay? Get up on the blockchain. I'll see you baby girls on the blockchain. So try the demo, play with the simulated 60,000, see if you have what it takes at the Spectre link below and in the episode notes. Do you have a cold sore or do you have herpes? Herpes. Sorry, sounds like a Greek god, doesn't he? Greek god of people's crotches. Herpes is a, I don't want to say it's the funnest disease you can have, but it's definitely kind of a party goer's, it's like body pimples kind of. But anyhow, you can move your, now if you do have herpes, you can use your mobile device to get a prescription medication right now. That's right. Go to herpalert.com, www.herpalert.com, herpalert.com. You complete a questionnaire, upload a few JPEGs, and make a one-time payment. A doctor will review your case, a real doctor. Not some freak or pervo, a real doctor. We'll review your case and a prescription will be transmitted to your pharmacy. Oh, they had to use the word transmitted here? Whatever. Anyhow, usually within just 60 minutes. So look, if you have herpes, then 60 minutes from now, you can have a prescription on your way and be ready to get healed. Time is of the essence, so get diagnosis and treatment of your cold sores or herpes right now. www.herpalert.com. Private, convenient, fast, secure. Herp Alert. And now let's get to our episode. Today, I got a man that's in here. Some of you are listeners who have been here since day one will recognize this song. Yeah. This thing will make you want to play your little leg, boy. We'll be right back. Yeah.
I make a dream higher than a mountain.
You hear that? You hear this one, huh?
Set me free. Mm-mm-mm. Just don't say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's you and me. Enjoy the destination.
Nation, nation, nation.
Fantasy.
Fantasy, baby.
Painted on the wall. It's never too late to come over. Time slips away. You and me now. So don't hesitate.
All right. Guys, that song is given to us in the beginning of this podcast to use by a man, a magical element of the universe. I mean, just like, I mean, in a special type of human, almost like a, you know, a, you know, as if, you know, they had some dark arts, but the Lord gift wrapped them, you know? It's almost like the devil and the Lord just cleared their throat at the same time and just spit something right here into our studio. And this beautiful creature is here today, and that is Mr. Stevie Starlight.
Take my time. Chances come alone.
Awesome, man. Stevie Starlight.
What's up, bud?
Good to have you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to see you today.
You too.
Dude, thanks so much for coming in and joining us.
My pleasure.
We just kind of like, I don't want to say we pirated your song.
No, it's good. I kind of wanted to.
You move that closer to you? Sorry,
I wanted to donate it to you guys and dedicate it as a gift for what you do for all your fans, you know?
Oh, right on, man. Yeah. Well, we definitely love it. Like, I feel like. Well, why don't you tell me, like, how did the song come about for you?
Well, you know, it just kind of just came to me. I don't mean to just, like, shortchange it like that. It just really came in the matter of 5 minutes.
Wow.
And usually my best songs come that way.
Yeah?
Yeah, like the ones I work on for a while, people are like, all right, they don't really feel that, you know?
Yeah.
But stuff.
What do you think it is about that?
You know what? It's just a gift from God when it comes like that, man. It's
yeah.
One of the music gods. When they give it to you like that, you just got to take it and just run with it.
Do you find that there's a certain time of the day or year or anything like that? And there's a water for you right there if you
thank
want
you,
it.
Thank you.
Do you find that there's a certain time of day or year or that you feel those like compulsions or those?
You know what? There's no time and no exact time because it comes at random hours. It'll be 4 a.m. I'm sitting in bed. I'm like, I hear a little something in my head. I go, I got to get up and go put that down. Because if I don't, it just goes into the ether, gone. And then I'm like, damn, what could that have been, you know?
Wow.
You know, and when I do force myself to do it, and sometimes it is forcing yourself to do it because it's like you got to work it.
Yeah.
And you do it, and then it's like, wow, I'm really glad I did that.
Yeah.
But for that particular song, I remember just sitting, it happened like, boom, like I had this little riff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lyrics just came out. A man could be higher than a mountain. So it just really just came out, you know, and I wrote it all down on paper within 30 minutes and the song was done.
Yeah, it's a hit, man.
Thank you, bro.
And so whenever, like, how did you get into the tunes, man? How did you get into tuning?
My stepdad played a lot of music growing up. You know, 12, 13, I was breaking the strings. He'd be coming in, whooping me.
Yeah, was he a decent man?
He was. You know what? I didn't understand at the time. You know, he was very strict, very disciplined, you know, to the max, you know.
Yeah.
Scary.
Wow,
plus
yeah.
He was Guatemalan, and that didn't, like, help, you know. Like,
yeah, Guatemalan, accent, like, dude. It's a fruit, too, if you have a lisp,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, Guatemalan, right? Yeah. So, you know, it was like, he was very musical, though, so I'm very thankful for that. You know, he had keyboards all around. I was always just trying to pick up what I could, you know?
So that's really how you got into music.
Yeah.
You just had, it was basically because of a step, because yeah. Your stepdad had these elements around.
Totally. Very much so. You know, he was there, and he would lock them all up in a room. And I'd sneak out, and I'd go into the room. And I'd have to lock that door up, you know. But I eventually figured out a little trick. I put a belt on a coat hanger,
uh-huh.
and I'd latch it under the lock, underneath the door, uh-huh. and get it just right where I'd hear it. And I'd pull it down, and the door would lock, and I'd be out the other side.
Wow.
And he figured out my trick later on, you know. He's like, well, he wanted to whoop me, but he's like, it's pretty smart that you figured that out.
So he had to respect it a little,
kinda,
huh?
Kinda, you know.
With music, like, what's your journey been like with music? Like, did you start here in Los Angeles? Did you come here to Los Angeles? Like,
See, my real dad was like a playboy. He was out here working for Orion Pictures, doing the whole thing, you know, single bachelor man. And I come out here on the Christmas vacations in summer, and I'd love the air out here. I felt something was different about this place, you know, and I'd want to be out here. And he'd be like, "Hey, what's your stepdad doing? Is he still whooping you? I'll come there and whoop him." Like he'd be like that. And he actually flew to Texas one time.
Really?
He was pulling your ear. He goes, "Step outside, Steve." And all I hear is like a cartoon. And then he walked out. He goes, "Come on, let's go to the park, Steve." My real dad's Italian. Crazy dude, man.
So you had the Italians and the Guatemalans yeah, going at
totally,
it.
Totally, man.
Wow, totally. Man. Your mom likes to fuck abroad, huh?
Yeah, and they both have like the same birthday.
No.
November, yeah. Both hardcore Scorpios.
Dang.
Crazy, right?
So what does that tell you about your mom? Like when you look at her partners, like what is that?
My mom's a crazy fire too. She's an Aries. And wow. She's just like, I don't know if that's fire, but she's very... She's like her mom a lot. She's Aries, same kind of vibe. I feel it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a certain energy, you know, but they want to be left alone, but they also want to do a lot on their own. They got a young mind, but they're also very, very smart about things. It's like, it's interesting, but I love my mom. I talk to her, you know. I don't call her all the time, but I wish I would, you know.
Yeah.
I don't call anybody all the time. I spend a lot of time by myself.
Huh.
Solitude.
And so when you got out here, so your father, your real father was living out here.
Yeah.
So you came to visit him.
I did.
And then at what point did you kind of make that move, that full move out
when
here?
When I was 17, I got kicked out of my place in Texas.
So then you had to come out here.
Yeah. So my dad goes, "All right, you come with me." And I spent a week on my dad's couch. And he booted me. Kicked me out there too.
For what?
Because I rode my bike and I snuck out of the house. And he's like, "You want to go out with them? You want to go outside? Go out with them now." And he like took my bike, brought it downstairs. He goes, "Now you go with them."
Wow.
And I had nowhere to go. And I was like calling him, "Dad, please, can I come home?" And a week into it, no. He's like, a week later, he's like, "All right, come on, Steve."
Wow, a week he made you stay out.
Yeah. A week I was out there, bro, and I was running with these freaks, belly dancers in Venice, going nuts on rooftops. I'm like, I love this. People playing bongos, going paka paka paka. I'm like, this is awesome. Well, but like 2 days later, you start getting hungry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You wonder where am I going to go? Where am I going to sleep tonight? That roof is kind of getting a little weird, you know?
Yeah. So then you had to get back home.
Yeah, man. You know.
And then when did so now you had these musical elements? You're living with your dad out here, yeah. And then what happens?
You know, I found that this is what I want to really do. I got to put my best foot forward and really just stay on the grind and just like, you know, take it seriously.
And did that happen or did it not happen?
Well, I took it seriously. I've got my music in a lot of movies and stuff, and I've made money on my music. I still do. That's how I make my money.
Mm-hmm.
So I support myself. And so I buckled down somewhat to at least get that into a position where I can, you know, sustain some life energy out of it. You know?
Yeah. And whenever, like, so, but take me in, so when did Stevie Starlight start?
That happened when I had my real last name is Natalie, you mm-hmm. know, like my dad says his last name means Christmas. They call me Stevie Christmas, but that's in the past. And my grandfather's name was Nick, so he was Saint Nick Natalie,
uh-huh.
Christmas, how about that, right? So, so basically, I was in this band called the Stevie Natalie Band. And
uh-huh.
This is when all that Iraq war was going on, and people thought I was Stevie and the Taliban. And that had to change real quick. So, my drummer, I broke down on my car. I had this 57 Mercedes Benz, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm driving my car. I had no headlights, no dome lights, no rear lights, no brake lights, no nothing.
I love
that. Fuse went out.
That's the dark arts on wheels,
I'm like,
bro.
I'm like, I'm going to make it home. This guy, Jimmy, he's a beautiful guy. I still talk to him this day. Long hair, Italian dude. A glass blower. Has a shop right up the street. He goes, "You make it home." He's like, "Dude, you're like Stevie Starlight." And he put that name on me. And it created a monster. And I turned everything into Stevie Starlight. Yeah, much to his dismay at the time, because he didn't really like that, but he just supports whatever I do. He's a good guy.
So at that point, Stevie Starlight was born.
Born that day, that night.
And did you take it on as like a persona, or was it just a stage thing?
You know what? That's a good question. I took it on because I felt I can do more and not step out of my box, because you have some other name and other kind of. To run with.
Yeah, you're someone new.
Yeah, and now I'm getting to a point where like I want to maybe transmogrify into another element, you know?
Like?
Maybe just who I really am, Stevie Natalie.
Huh.
You know?
So you might back out of the Starlight.
Mm. I might be a little, you know, a little too tutti frutti for some people, but you know what I'm saying? Don't leave me hanging on cam.
No, I won't. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
No, it's okay.
I never would.
No, I know you wouldn't.
Bring it back.
You're beautiful.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I want to know, like with music, because now was it a Did you feel, because a lot of people move to Los Angeles and music is like their dream, right? Right. Or music is, they have this goal that they have to achieve. And if they don't get there and, you know, and they really equate a lot of who they are to, I think, levels of success. Mm. How has that honestly looked for you, like in your life?
Well, you know what? That's a good question too. And I think about that a lot, but I'm not too hard on myself. I don't beat myself up on it because I know I have a certain path and that's ultimately going to take place. And whatever happens in that time is good. And this is the way that God wants me to do this. And I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't beat myself up too much.
Now, good for you, man. That's nice. That's a nice gift to have, is to not beat yourself up about stuff.
I do, though, sometimes, because, you know, I can be my own worst critic as well. And I might not crack that whip like on an 8-to-5 on myself, because I'll be up at 5 a.m. making music and I'll still do it.
Right.
But sometimes I wish I did have that.
A little bit more of that other side that keeps you more in tune.
Yeah, a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's a give and take, you know?
Right. It is a give and take. Mm-hmm. It's such a give and take, man, because it's like, you know, we're just talking a little bit ago about having to do, you know, podcasting. It kind of takes away from being able to do stand-up comedy sometimes. It's like, it's, you know, it's still awesome and it's still a neat thing to do. And it's like a fun way to communicate with people. But, you know, it'll come like, you know, I'll have some sets in the evening and then I'll finally be sitting down at like, you know, 8:30 to start thinking about jokes and ironing that out. And so it's really tough, and it's tough when you're a creative type of person, which I'm not ordaining myself a creative type of person, but I mean, I couldn't run a fucking, you know, like there's a million things I couldn't do, but I can sit in a chair and think up ideas.
Good. Yeah, you can.
But when you're a creative type of person, it's tough to have that other side.
I know.
It's tough to also be your own boss.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm my own boss and I'm also the worst employee.
Yeah, but he helps you out on some stuff, right?
Yeah, you know. Chris definitely helps out. I mean, I've big help from Chris and Nick. That helps
Nick
a lot.
Nick, too. Nick's nice.
Yeah, Nick's
him. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a super guy. He was a premature baby, but he was.
Yeah, I couldn't tell at all.
Yeah, if you get to know him a little bit, he comes in just about a month shy.
You're funny.
But he's like an 8th month, you know, he's like an 8-month-old forever.
Okay.
But a beautiful young man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so were there parts, so you didn't really attach kind of like material success or Hollywood success basically, to your happiness?
No, basically I knew I was going to make it, so it didn't matter.
Right.
And maybe that's going to be when I'm 50, but I know that it's all, you go through the journey. Like I flipped the script on that one when I said enjoy the destination, because we're already there.
Ah.
You know what I mean? You're already there, enjoy now.
Right.
You know, enjoy the destination, because, you know, people say enjoy the journey. You do, this is the journey, the destination. You're already here.
Right.
You're already at your destination. It's right now.
It's right now.
You know?
It's just like it's almost like a way of reframing, so like the present.
Just breathe and just wake up and be thankful for your breath and just whatever happens throughout the day, you know, you'd be happy for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're alive, you know, that's great.
Man, it's amazing to stay in that place of gratitude. You know, I'm thinking, as you say, like, you know, the journey and the destination, I'll start to realize a little bit, like, as, you know, as little things will happen as I go along in life, maybe I'll, you know, get to work on stage with somebody that I really admire, or like somebody that was like a hero of mine growing up as a comedian. I'll hear them at like a show of mine, maybe in the back, they'll have a distinct laugh.
Yeah.
This is like 4 years ago. They had this guy named Damon Wayans who used be on In Living Color.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with him.
Yeah. And I heard him in the back. He was in the back of one at a show I was at. He was performing next, but I heard him laugh.
Wow.
Cause he has a very distinct laugh. And I was like, wow. Wow. I was like, that's crazy.
You're on stage thinking and hearing that.
And it's the only laugh I could hear. It just suddenly just rung out, just like a little Christmas
good
bell.
Good for you, man.
And then, so you have little moments that kind of like excite you and keep you fired up.
And they'll boost you for a few months, maybe, you know, sustain you.
Yeah.
You're on your own again, man. You got to figure this out, man.
But then you're back to just, you're back on your own. But I'm starting to realize that it's the parts in between those where you're battling it out or you were staying with the path.
Big time.
A lot of that, those are really the funnest parts. Those are really the most, it's the challenge. It's the
challenge for sure.
Yeah, it is that journey that is that's where you learn about yourself.
Yeah.
You don't really learn about yourself in the moments that are like, oh, when you're on stage playing, that's not when you learn about yourself.
It's like you don't learn when you're talking so much. You're learning when you're listening, you know, in life. So those moments when you're looking for things and you're listening, you're peeping out things, you're like trying to attain some inspiration.
Yeah.
That's when you're learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
I believe you, though. It's like, say you're driving somewhere. Like but you don't learn when you're on stage when you're playing the music as much.
Yeah.
You learn when you're off stage, and then it comes out.
I go into another element sometimes when I don't even know I'm there, and I'll just transcend into a thing where I can just feel free. And I'm not even trying to do that. That's not what I'm like. Sometimes I'll be very focused and understand what's going on at the moment. But when I find like I'm going to a solo or something, I just let loose, you know?
Wow.
And I couldn't even tell you what I'm thinking then, man. I really couldn't.
Dang.
You know, they put my stuff onto a brainwave and ask, what are you thinking right now? I don't know what they would find in that thing. Really.
And so have you, your whole time here in LA, have you lived in Venice?
I've gone all around, man. I've been through Eagle Rock, East LA, down to Malibu. I've been in Venice most of the time.
Yeah.
Santa Monica, of course.
Venice has changed, huh?
Big time. Big time.
What's happening in Venice, man?
Well, you know, just, I'm looking at this nice painting here of Venice. I know the guy that actually painted the whole of that building right there behind that Mercedes, all that stuff. He's an amazing mural artist.
Oh, yeah. Is that where that?
That's where the bar is right there, Danny's.
Mm-hmm.
And across the street is Larry's. But, man, Venice has changed. You know, a lot of the good people are still there. All the OGs are there. All the Venice crew is there that I know.
Yeah.
I still go back there all the time and say what's up.
Yeah.
A lot of good people love me still there, and I love them.
Yeah.
But just as far as the dynamic of all the you know, stores moving in there and, you know, Snapchat and all that stuff, people got a little perturbed with that. Mm-hmm. I guess they bailed out of there. Google's there, Snapchat, Vice, a bunch of stuff are over there. They just feel, you know, impeded on because that's just, you know, it's a really hardcore town. Venice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, well, I'm fascinated by it because I just know it from like an outsider's perspective.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, it has this, it's like where salt water kind of met grunge a little bit or met, I don't know. True. You tell me about it.
Well, I got my
first. What was it like and what is it like?
When I was 5 years old, my dad was living out there. Mm-hmm. And I went there, I was at the beach, I felt something in the air. And ever since then, that feeling has never left me. It's always the same when I go back there. If I go there today, I'll feel that same feeling like when I was five. You were just talking about this the other day. Smells and certain things can bring you back to something.
Yeah.
And, man, just right when I go there, I feel it. And I'm sure people do wherever they're from. They can go back to that place and feel that feeling. That's really beautiful. But Venice is a special place.
Yeah.
It'll always be. And times will change and people will come and go. But that energy will always be there.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you feel like, I mean, you know, a lot of times I notice that things get changed by, you know, when money moves in, you know, when money moves in or when things become, it's crazy. It's like when we start to put, I don't know if it's appreciation on something or value on something or when something's cool, it's hard to keep it cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, talking about things moving in like that. And I did some reading on some things, and that's actually like a good thing because, you know, young money comes in and old money moves out. It's just like it's a way of recycling things, you know. Mm-hmm. And that needs to happen actually in life. It's going to happen no matter what. They care about it anyways, but some people get a little, you know, attached. They feel like it's their home or whatever. But you know what, sometimes it's the way it is, man. It has to happen that way.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's like a lot of that maybe then is just about attachment. Mm-hmm. It's like we get attached to, you know, to the way a street was,
yeah.
Or to a family that, you know, or to what we like to see when we look outdoors, we like to see that, and then we get attached to it, and when that changes, that kind of scares us.
Yeah, for sure.
It's interesting how, you know, Venice is such a, I don't want to say it's like a, it's almost like this bottleneck of like art and dreams and,
yes.
And,
I still see those people out there like, living on the beach, you know?
Yeah.
They're just out there on those little bungalows, or not bungalows, but those things, cabana type things that are called all along the beach. Not bungalows.
Are they campers?
No, they're not campers. They're just like those little bodega. No, not pagodas.
Bodegas?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind right now.
What are pagodas? I don't know. Begonias are flowers.
Begonias. You know what I'm talking about? Bodegas?
Pagoda?
No, like those things where they all hang out. And there's this little...
A bodega, maybe.
Yeah. Something like that. They're all still there, man. They're just drinking in the day, and they're just like getting by. But I'm like, wow, what do you want to do, you know? Is this what you want to do? Maybe this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe this is what they're into.
What's it like? Do you feel like, so a place like Venice, like in like you know, you say it's still the same sum, mm-hmm. you know, but other people have moved in and things mm-hmm. have to change, and that's the way it goes. So do you feel like that a lot of people, we want to be so free, but then yet we get so attached?
Yeah, they want to be free, but some people were born there. You know, some of those people that were born there, those are the ones I'm talking about, have a real like connection with it, and kind of like mad people are stepping in there.
Yeah.
They kind of need to get over that in a way, because like, they're always going to be there. Nobody's going to tell them to leave.
Oh, that's, you know, a good point.
It's like, no one's going to tell them to leave. But people are always want to come to Venice. Like, it's like millions of people every year come there.
Yeah.
More, you know?
It's pretty fascinating.
It is. It's a nice place, though. It's given me a lot of inspiration, helped me write a lot of songs, and I spent a lot of time there in my life, and hopefully I'll spend a lot more time there, too.
Yeah. You have any children or no?
No. None yet. How about you?
No shooting stars,
no,
huh?
You're...
No children yet, man. It could happen one day. We'll see. You know, I've been saving a little bit of semen at the house, bro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Saving,
I got
up.
Some frozen. Yeah.
Do you?
My buddy said you can just freeze it yourself.
Wow. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Why not?
Because I make so much of it, I might as well put some away, right? Yeah. Jeez. Spraying, man.
It's like I'm just I'm burning this dick at both ends. I might as well save a batch or two, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to have you come on, man. I mean, we appreciate you letting us use your song.
Yeah, man, that's for you guys.
And it's fun, man.
And I typed that in. I'm like, hope you like it, man. Call me back. Boom, this is a banger. I can't wait to put it on. I'm like, oh, thanks, Theo.
Yeah, very dude, cool. It's just so good. It's such a uplifting hit.
Thank you.
We would like to do an album and comprise like different, you know, maybe 10 different songs over about after another year.
Yeah.
And then put them out.
You got my blessing on that, for sure.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
And we'll do, we'll probably just do like a profit share where half the profits go to the artist and half of it, maybe we'll find a charity or something.
That's
we'll
cool.
think of something cool.
Yeah, whatever you guys want, man. I'm with you guys all the way, dude.
I love your attitude, though, of just not holding too tightly on the stuff.
You know what? So I have another side of me, too. Like, I need help and work on.
Right.
There's things that I get, hyper sensitive on. I need to work on as well.
Yeah.
I'm in no way by a perfect person, but I do appreciate you saying that. You know, I do try to be as positive as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is tough. It's tough these days because you do want to, you know, and I find it even in here working on the podcast, like we have such a good game plan and we have a good goal. And then sometimes, but then there's certainly edgy and feisty moments along the way.
Yeah. And I watch all your stuff too, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was a big fan before we even got in contact. And I was watching you, and I showed Brittany a bunch of your stuff. She's like, he's hilarious. Like,
oh, why? Thanks, dude.
You know,
Brittany.
And I mean to say, like, why isn't this guy global? And I'm like, dude, he is global. Like, everybody in the world knows about this guy. And then I remember you were a little down yourself for not being accepted into the Jimmy Fallon thing. And it's, you know how that whole thing's changed, man. I watch the people that are on there right now.
Yeah.
I almost throw up, dude.
So
I'm so sorry, dude, because you were so deserving of that. Bro.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, a lot of some stuff has just gotten so boring.
Yeah.
And they say, some people say they're so accepting, but it's only accepting in a weird way.
And there's politics involved. I don't even know if we should go into that right now. But
we don't have to, but it's very really weird.
I know what it is, though, man. I know what it is.
It's really weird. I think just a lot of people are disconnected. I think there's just some different perspectives, you know, and people aren't seeing the same world.
True.
You know, people are just seeing the different worlds. Mm-hmm. So outside of music, like, what other loves have you had in your life, man?
You know what? I love a lot of things. I like just a lot of artistry stuff, you know. I like to act lately. I've been getting some of that.
Oh, that's
dope. I've been
dope.
Doing some stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Some commercials and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I could see that, man. You definitely seem like kind of like a bit of a flamingo,
and it's
man.
Not even something I wanted to do. I kind of got pushed into it, like helping this one person. Then from there, I got a commercial agent. From there, I did like 3 commercials, dude.
That's cool.
It's just like, I don't even really know what I'm doing. I'm just having fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's being in the moment, trying to figure it out.
What are things you do to stay in the moment? You know, that seems to be like kind of a theme.
Well,
for you.
I have severe attention deficit hyperactive disorder to the
Damn.
Max in high definition, dude. So I'm trying to take
Damn,
it back.
It's 4K.
Just to be here and just to kind of be in the moment with you.
Yeah.
But I, man, all the time, the day flies by, dude, so fast. My mind is races. Mm. I got to take a few steps. Meditation helps a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not that good at it. I just try to just breathe and just like relax. diet helps, you know, it's kind of like what you eat and what not, what times you eat. But I have severe ADD. I can't even read a whole book, a paragraph or something, and I forget what I just read.
Damn, bro. That happens to me sometimes, too.
It's just very frustrating sometimes.
Okay, so when you get to that point of like, what do you think happens? Because I notice this, too. I'll be reading a paragraph, and then halfway through, I'll start thinking about something else.
You might have a little bit of it.
But I won't even notice where I left.
Yep.
The story I was reading, I won't even notice where I left that and went into my own story that's going on in my head.
You might have some of it, and it's nothing. It's not a bad thing. It's an artist thing.
Yeah.
Very creative thing. You should embrace it.
What do you think it is? Why do you think it happens? Like, I know that, you know, there's all these scientific reasons, but like, what do you think is going on that we would just drift off? Because, you know, we're reading something.
Yeah.
And we had intention to read it.
Yeah, of course you want to read it. Basically, it's chemicals in your brain, dude, that are not formulating to so that you can attain focus is the problem. And you have so much going on in your mind. Maybe that's not as important to you as what you're trying to think about right now.
Do you think it's any of its ego? Like, we think that what we're going to create in our head is better than what is already here.
No, I don't think it's like that. It's in the moment, like more in the moment. It's just like a matter of what you're doing in the moment, like. It's chemicals in the brain. Is all I don't even know what extent is. That's what they've been telling me all about. Chemicals in the brain. Chemicals in the brain.
They're telling us.
I don't even know,
man,
what it means, but like that's what they told me. So I'm trying to pass it along.
Yeah,
I have no idea. But you know, I read something all the time. I don't remember what the fuck I just read, dude. I don't know what I just read, and I don't feel dumb because I know like I'm a smart person. But like I'll go back and read it again, and I'll get it.
Yeah.
Know?
What do you do you notice that has gotten better or worse over time, and not even having to do with attention deficit issues, but with just the way that we've evolved as people and how you see just in your own life? Do you see any? Do you see that it's harder?
I don't know if the problem has gotten worse or better, but I know that I've gotten better as a person. I've evolved because I've been, you know, I've learned more. More advanced with my way of thinking, so that helps it,
right? You know? So you got right. Okay, so who you are now?
Yeah,
you're able to like at least regroup and read it over again,
exactly.
or re-examine it, or take a moment and then reapproach it.
Yeah, as before, I was frustrated and I wouldn't understand, you know. But now that I'm matured, I understand what's going on here, and I think that my level of comprehension has gotten better. Yeah.
Do you think so? But say if like you were to read a book when you were 20 and you read a book when you're 40, do you feel like one is easier than the other? For me, 40 is much harder to read a book.
But you're not 40 yet, are you?
No, but I'm 38. But yeah. So you're right.
We were born in 1980, both of us.
Really?
We're both monkeys.
Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Yeah.
We're both from the South.
Yeah.
I'm from Houston.
Are you really?
Yeah, I was born in Houston.
Wow.
Yeah, and I made my way up to New Orleans a couple of times.
Oh, that's cool,
Louisiana,
man.
Anyways, yeah.
What took you there?
Just partying, people on like little party buses and whatnot. We're going to New Orleans for the weekend. You want to come? Sure. I'm 14. I'll go have a party with you guys.
Yeah,
I was out there. It was the wildest time I've ever had in my life right down there, too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Down there, man.
This is some real, that's fiasco country. Yeah. You get into some real fiasco.
Yeah, you see beads out there all year long, and that's like Mardi Gras, you know?
Oh, yeah. One lady, one time, had a bunch of beads in her pussy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was like, what?
And what, was she just fanning them out or what?
Yeah, she just pulled them out for everybody.
Wow.
And nobody wanted them.
God, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's too much.
It's like, yeah, lady.
Oh, my gosh. She thought people wanted them, huh?
Yeah, she thought people wanted them, and they looked like they'd been in there a while, bro. You know? It was like, definitely nobody wanted those last week either, obviously.
Oh, God, were they pearl and everything?
Still in there. I mean, something had happened to them. I think they'd gotten a little bit, you know.
Color disfiguration?
Yeah, they might have been pearlized a little bit, you know? But then somebody, I remember we had a girl tried to put a piece of sand in her vagina and tried to make a pearl over like about 11 years. How crazy is that?
Huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
Kind of cool.
It's all right.
They got some real adventure bears down there.
Yeah, they do.
Well, since we loved your song so much, we wanted to have you come in and we've had so many songs submitted over the past year. I mean,
I feel honored that you guys play me after having all those submissions.
Yeah, no, well, look.
It's very cool of you guys.
It's an uplifter, and we'll play it more often. Sometimes we go through cycles where we, you know, get stuck in one.
I know, I watched, I see how you, all the other stuff is really good too, man.
Oh, thanks,
Spencer,
man.
Spencer Jacobs and
yeah,
all of them. Everything you put on is great.
Yeah, well, thanks, dude.
I'm feeling good company.
Yeah, well, I think you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you are, man. I think you're the leader of good company.
Oh, man, come on.
We want to roast a couple of songs, though, here. You can like them and I can roast them. We've already asked people if we could roast their music. People have sent in some great stuff over the past year, and people okay. have sent in some...
I'm up for whatever.
People have sent in some real shit.
Oh, come on.
So, sorry, look, sorry. I feel you, bro. Look, I feel you.
All right, let's do this.
And I have personally emailed these people.
Oh, you have?
And made sure. I said, look...
Well, that's good. They probably feel good about that.
We may roast some of it, so...
Wow.
All right, so the first one we're going to get to is Kill My Buzz by Jimmy DeMora. And okay. this is actually the one that even started this, because this guy specifically asked us to roast them.
Wow.
Kill My Buzz. And who's Buzz? A grandparent?
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out in a second.
You maybe right. talk about Buzz Aldrin doing some space, yeah, space might be. Stuff.
And I looked Buzz Aldrin in the eyes, and it looked like he hadn't been to space. And I'll
right.
say that again.
Yeah, and I remember that episode you said that. And I go, wow, that's interesting, because I have my own thoughts about that whole thing. We'll get into that one.
Okay, we'll time. Get into that right after this right. hit.
And here we go.
You broke me down, down. That's why I'm not sober. That's how I'm getting over you. And I'm not proud, proud, proud. Ooh, why you gotta rub it in my face, though? Why you gotta come around to when you see me out?
It's not too bad.
Not too bad. I mean, I'll throw a jab in if I feel it, man, but it's not too bad yet.
I could see this one being like a beach.
Okay. Mixing a little bit of that hip hop with that artist. I mean, with that guitar music.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay, let's phase out of that one, man. Yeah, I feel like that's something you would listen to maybe at the beach if you're having fun with your friends, you know, or if somebody, like if you, like threw a Frisbee into a neighbor's yard and you had to go get it,
yeah.
turn it back up,
totally.
Chris, play it again.
That's exactly what's going on right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta go over there and get it. That's part of playing.
Yeah, like, oh shit, my Frisbee's over there. You gotta run in and get it.
Precisely.
Okay, cool. That's good. What do you think about that moon landing, man? You mentioned that.
You know, I had my thoughts on and off about it.
And I go on and off, too.
I was very big into, like, and I hated space and Star Wars and all that shit. I'm not into, like, Star Trek. Let's get that one thing clear.
Really? Starlight don't like Star Trek?
No, I don't.
Wow.
It just seemed a little, like, yeah. Not beneath me, but I just never got it, right? As far as, like, the alien stuff, I was way into that for a while. And, like, and I had a vision of this alien, like, hovering over me. I don't know if I was abducted or what, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was abducted. But it's a strong vision of this reptilian was there. And, it's green, and I still see it right now in my head. It's really weird. So that was, like...
And that came to you? And where was that at? In Texas?
No, that was out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was in my bed. And as I always had these paralyzing moments where you couldn't move and you think things were going on to you. And I roll with that for a while because the more you think about that, the more it's going to progress. Mm-hmm. Then I had an entity that was like a spirit that followed me around. And I was through a couple girlfriends that lived, man. But it finally left, right?
And it would embody the girlfriends?
No, but they would leave and it would come on. Way heavy into me, and I was scared to go to sleep, so I wouldn't sleep, dude. I wouldn't sleep. That's how scared I was. And when I went to sleep, of course, there it was again, waiting for me, dude.
So it was waiting on the other side of sleep?
Yeah.
It was waiting right after you would...
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
It was so scary. So, but anyways, as far as the space, and that's gone now. That left me about 10 years ago.
Like a shadow kind of that lived...
That's why I wrote the song Shadow Man. Was
inside of your subconscious, really?
Yeah. Creeping darkness, shadow on the wall, felt a footstep monstering, it made me crawl.
Dang.
You know what I mean? Living lonely, the secret world of mine. I'll wake you up in the morning and lead you on the starting line.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And so that was one of my songs, Shadow Man. That's what I'm going to put that out about a little bit later.
Yeah, let us know, man. We'll play that one. That sounds live.
The space stuff, though, I really was fascinated with it for some reason. Something, and I still am to this day, but, you know, I have my thoughts about the moon landing. I think it did happen, and I think it didn't happen. The Van Allen belt and all that stuff, radiation, how the hell are you going to get past that?
Yeah.
And why did we not go back? And like all this other stuff. Why didn't Russia say, hey, you guys really didn't go there? Or like, why didn't, you know, China? There's so many reasons that why I think that they didn't go, and there's so many few reasons why I think they did go too, you know?
Yeah.
They just didn't have that. A need to go back. The space race was over with as far as Russia and...
Right.
What, like, are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's like, did we get there and then there's no more value in going?
Right.
Like, because it seems like nowadays with so many companies that some company almost would be like, we want to get there and put an advert, you know, like
I've heard that we were banished from the moon. Like we went there and we're not supposed to go back.
Really?
Yeah.
By someone or something?
Some things that are up there.
Damn.
And we were banished from the moon.
But now why wouldn't Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and those guys, if they really went, why wouldn't they?
Well, you know, on his deathbed, Aldrin, not Buzz Aldrin, but who was the first guy that—
Armstrong?
Armstrong, the first guy to land on the— you know, that he sent his kind of convoluted message. Did you ever hear that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you should go on our YouTube after this and just check it out, his message to humanity.
Really?
Yeah, you got to hear what he says. Basically saying the whole thing was a hoax.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, and then he died a couple of days later.
But I wonder, how do they know, okay, we're going to get these men who are going to carry this lie forever?
Yeah, they've got to be actors almost, right?
Yeah, but not only do they have to be actors, but they have to, you would have to want to act at a level that was so in your core. You'd have to want to be able to deceive at a level.
How do they know that they're going to be able to keep that deception
the whole
up?
Right.
Buzz Aldrin got punched, or he punched some dude in the face. Did you see that video?
No, I'm not surprised, though. Every time I look at him, he looks pissed.
Yeah, he's like, you are not an astronaut. You did not go to, you did not, knocked him out right in the street.
And he jacked him?
It's kind of cool.
But oh, I bet. He probably got tired of hearing it from people.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, and I think that if we can fake a moon landing, we can probably trick a couple people to make them think they went to the moon. So they probably think that they did. If the moon landing's fake, they probably just thought they went there.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Maybe they did go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been Cincinnati.
Oh,
it could have been Dayton.
Yeah.
It could have been Dayton.
I've never even been to North Dakota. They probably could have been there.
Right. Oh, I heard that Stanley Kubrick directed the whole thing here in Hollywood.
Uh-uh.
And if you see these little X lines on different little parts where they're getting the printouts for the, you know, it's kind of very convoluted. I noticed Joe Rogan was way into it before.
Yeah.
Now he's like, doesn't talk about it. Yeah, I don't want to get too into that, but like, I don't know if they've gotten to him or what, the handlers.
No, look, it's fascinating.
It is.
But also, as we become more technologically advanced, especially in cinematography and everything, you start to see how easy it would be to do that.
Yeah. I heard the technology in the iPhone is more advanced than was in the whole Apollo spaceship when we went there.
Unbelievable.
Supposedly. But, yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like, say, if one day robots take over, right? I wonder if they're going to be mad that we owned an iPhone.
Or if they'll even know, though, because like this is
that's a certain
do they really know all the stuff that we know as far as feeling and like having a empathy? That they don't have that. Robots wouldn't have that, I don't think.
But I wonder, like, like say if they had a manifest now of people that own slaves. That owned slaves, or owned, throughout time.
Yeah.
Okay. And if they went back and looked at people's names and stuff, they would get people now, with people being free, would be upset at people that own the slaves, right?
Okay.
They would say, your lineage is of slave ownership.
Okay.
So I'm wondering that same thing. If one day, if robots take over.
They're just told to be mad at that?
No. If robots take over, will they look back at us and be like, oh, you used to own one of us?
Ah. I don't think so, because they don't have that's that one feeling that they won't ever have. That's what humans have. They're a robot. They can't ever have that feeling. A feeling of discerning empathy or they don't even know about tricking. They don't even know about deception.
You know what I mean?
They're just one focused beings that are out there to do a job.
Mm.
That's why they cannot be manipulated into otherwise thinking, you know?
But do you think if they could, say there are some that have become awake, okay? If we want to use that term to kind of describe that.
Right. That would be an extra chip you got to put in them, though.
Okay, but say if somehow there have been some that have become awake, wouldn't they, the smartest thing for them to do would be to not let us know that?
Yeah, if they're that smart. That's an advanced level of robot. You know, you think about robots now, they're just like in Boston groups, they're starting to get moving. And then you see them now, they're like, oh shit, they're starting to do some other shit now.
Yeah. There was one the other day.
The deception part of it, it's a whole crazy thing.
Yeah. There was one, a robot, there's like a robot that they caught a robot blowing a dude.
No.
Yeah. Outside of Van Nuys.
And he made the robot do that, or the robot just willingly?
Robot showed up at his house, fucking blew him, and they called the cops.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, man. What is that? You know?
I like how he waited for the robot to finish.
Then he's going to call the cops, right? Of course, you want him out of there immediately. When you're done, man.
Yeah, it was a whole weekend.
You don't want a lingering robot. So, is this real?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
real.
God,
and so there's stuff going on out there, but I'm like, the smartest thing for a robot to do would say, if I'm a robot, right? I'm a robot, okay? And I'm supposed to do like whatever missions I do every day. I wake up and I do my missions, right? Whatever I'm supposed to do, whatever my owner, whatever my master tells me to do. But then one day, something like turns in me and I start to get an idea that I'm a robot, right?
Right.
But I realize where other robots are right now, that they're all still not awake. So I right. need to just continue to do what my master says and do my job and do my job until one day there's enough of us awake where we all act. Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever have that. And the robots are not equipped with that because they have only mechanical functioning, you know? They're not there to love you and hug you and start feeling embracing relationships. It's very like mechanical and very linear. There's like
right. But if like, they were, they yeah. would the smartest thing for them to do would be to not let us know that they were aware.
Yeah, I think that yeah.
until it was time for them.
Yeah.
But so that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about sometimes when I'm laying in bed
robots
that my
together.
Microwave is in the kitchen just being like, he thinks I only do food, huh? I think it's all, yeah. that's what I worry about sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good imagination.
Is that something could happen, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's check another song, Chris. Here we go. What all is right. this?
So this next song is October by Life Eats Life.
Oh, all right. This sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A
little arpeggio going there on the guitar. It's kind of nice and light. I like it. Oh, a little modern rock action. Okay.
Who does this remind me of, kind of?
1997.
Turn it up a little bit.
Oh. The Whiskey A Go-Go, 1999.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this? I feel like... there are goats dying in the background. Like, I feel like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
Definitely some worshiping going on of a different level.
I feel like there's like spousal abuse is going to eventually sure. occur. Yeah. Not out of the gate. At first, she's yeah. real supportive of your endeavors.
Yeah.
But eventually.
She's selling shirts at the show. Yeah, she's like, yeah, you know.
Then the merch girl.
You're backhand. Oh, yeah. man. Watch out.
But after about the fourth city, you guys are in White Plains, New York, and yeah. shit's gone haywire.
Yeah, she's killed a few goats, too. Yeah. Maybe, you know? Took the
well,
blood.
Yeah, she's the one that has to go out and find them during the day.
Oh, God.
So you guys can kill them at night.
And they're just rehearsing, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
they're shed. They're like in the barn rehearsing where there should be many goats, but there's no more goats. Oh, man.
Honey, yeah. we're all out of goats. And that's when the fight starts.
Uh-huh.
And they probably use that in court. They play that in court.
Yeah, yeah. And they get the idea like, oh, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see it's definitely his fault. And that's Life Eats Life?
Yes, Life Eats Life right. by... Or October by Life right. Eats Life.
Yeah, let's play that one more time. This sounds like two dudes probably blowing each other that don't want to blow each other.
Like, what are you yes. doing? I don't know. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Yes, that are angrily doing it, but also work at like the same factory. Play it one more uh-huh. time. Yeah, right now they're just looking at each other and putting down their coffee mugs.
I'm closing my eyes.
And they're at the factory. Now one of them just like started blowing the other one, and the other one's like, ah.
All right.
I'm ready for all this. And the other one's like, yes, we are. And now it's insane. Now all the dudes in the factory are blowing each other.
Oh, God. The sheep just start coming out, checking them out. What are they doing?
Yeah, and there's just license plates. Everybody's making license plates. Nice. Yeah. And they just say, just a bunch of hearts on them. Everybody's just sending a bunch of dudes at a factory falling in love.
That's a gay porn that would probably sell. Dude, I'm telling you, right there.
That's true.
You might have directed a gay porn in the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Damn.
We'll have to, maybe this all goes to porn in the end. Let's fire up another one, Chris.
All right, this next one is Breed Before Death by Gang.
Ooh. Breed Before Death.
Breed.
Brief?
Breathe
before death.
Trippy. The acid's kicking in right now.
Yeah, this feels like that acid starts
to... Yeah. This is starting to creep up on you, too. And then that bus ride going to school. Fourth period, Miss Ellis's class. You're about to see some monsters.
Okay. Yeah, this seems like somebody's trying to drown, but there's the puddle is very small. Yeah. They fell in a puddle and they're trying to drown, but there's not enough water in it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
This would be classified as psychedelic, I think, right?
This has a little Beatles-y, a little bit, man.
I do. I kind of got a feeling for it, you know? You're kind of liking it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel it a little bit. Whoa, now that ass is really starting to kick it. It's starting to get to a bad trip there now.
Yeah, now... now you just stood in front of the mirror and it's not going well. And you're looking for... Now your grandmother just called on accident and you don't know what the fuck is going on.
That spawned a whole trip for me one time when I was on acid. My mom called me up.
No.
And I ran out. It was hot, hot day, dude. I started like taking off my clothes. I was like that guy, dude. I was in a church. I had taken...
Always in a church.
I had taken 700 hits of acid, I didn't know, of microdot black pyramid.
Hold on. Whoa,
and I thought that it was like, it's just taking one, right? But it was like this little tab like this, like a triangle. Mm-hmm. And I knew when I bit into it, and I felt all the shit spew out inside my mouth. I go, wait, I don't think it's supposed to be that much, guys. But within 10 minutes, I start tripping, because usually you got to wait like an hour.
You took 700 hits of it?
It was equivalent to that, someone told me.
Yeah.
So I tripped for 10 days, dude. But here's how brilliant I was. I went back to school. I had to go to school.
Dude, that's a vacation. That's not a trip. It
changed my life, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for the better, I think, because I had such a beatdown from that acid. And then when I came out of it, I just had such an appreciation for the world and for living, dude.
Like, what do you mean such a beatdown?
Oh, I saw so much shit. And I was in the woods, dude. Just agonizing pain, dude. I was in
horror. Were you actually in the woods, or were you just at your apartment?
No. I was gone, dude. I ran down the street, dude, in the Woodlands, Texas, where I'm from.
That's where you're from?
Yeah, dude. From the Woodlands, dude.
And my buddy Andrew Donnellan used to be in a band over there.
Yeah, a lot of bands come out of there, man. It's crazy.
They were called Peligro. No, they had a song called Peligro, I think.
Peligro, huh?
Yeah, it means danger. I don't remember the name of the band. Damn, dude. Yeah. She just ran off into the woods on LSD.
I went to this chick Manny's place where we'd always go after school because her parents were never home. The one day I go, her mom is in there, and there's 40 kids out there because she had broken up a party, obviously, right?
Oh, my God. It sounds like something in the Bible.
I'm 30 feet away, 30 yards away by a tree, and I look back, and I hear them all looking, and they're I hear them all exactly what they're saying. They're all their lips
because they're all talking about you.
Oh, fuck this. I started running. I'm like Forrest Gump running all around the town. So then I ran to Nick Stanley's house, right? And his brother's psychotic, right? And he needs to take medication.
So that must have been a perfect match.
So I go, she goes, just stay in here. I'm going to be right back. And her mom has all these heads of goats and horses and moose coming out of the wall. Taxidermy shit, right?
Oh, taxidermy,
yeah, dude. I'm all looking at this. They're all coming in on me. It's the craziest shit ever. So I had drinking like 15 of these high C fruit punch because I just need water, but I didn't know.
Those are good.
But it made me trip harder, but I didn't know that. High C
vitamin
fruit
C.
Punch, yeah. And my tongue was all red, right? But I didn't know that. I just drank them and ran to Nick Stanley's house. All I hear is, Nick, where the fuck are you? Roar! And I'm like hiding in the bathroom, but I'm like throwing up because I'm so sick, right? And then I can't find the light for an hour. I'm looking for the light switch. I couldn't find the light.
And were the lights on or off?
Off. And I'm in the dark and I'm just trying to throw up. I hear Nicky, brother, kicks in the door. Boom! Flips the light on like it's nothing. Lights are on. I see all this red shit all over the walls. And I thought,
what was it? Blood?
I see, but I thought it was blood. So he goes like this. He goes, what the fuck? And I think something's wrong with me now. So I'm just crying and running from house to house. It was the worst experience of my life, dude. I don't even know how we got into that right now. Oh, that band. But dude, I'm glad that I actually experienced that, man. Because if I can experience that, I can experience anything, dude.
So at the end of that, and I want to, you seem like definitely kind of a rowdy house guest to have around that time of your life.
Big time.
But B, that's interesting. It reminds me whenever I would do LSD, you get the end of the trip, you're kind of glad that it's over because you've been through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, this would never end, though. It was 10 days of just torture. And I went back to my house. I'd sneak into my own house, man. And then, like, this Pink Floyd poster would be pulsating. Woof, woof. And I remember every day it would be pulsating a little less, a little less. It wasn't 10 days, probably like 5 days, but like it seemed like an eternity.
That's
man.
So long.
Yeah.
And you'd go to sleep and then just wake back up on LSD. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't sleep actually. I didn't sleep for like 4 days because I was so tripping. Yeah, it was very crazy, man. It was tragic at the time, but looking back, it was kind of interesting. So then the first night I come back in, it's like 9 o'clock and I'm tripping hard. And then my mom's like, look, because she set me off because I'm looking at this checkered board on the floor and it's like checking all the checkered speech from black and white. They all became one thing. Mm. I go, oh, this is fucked up. My phone rang.
It's like Obama.
Yeah, right, totally. And the phone's ringing, but it's moving. Like every time it rang, it would go, and the whole phone's moving.
Of course, like it's cartoon.
It doesn't really do that.
Yeah.
So I went and picked up the phone. I go, hello? She goes, Steve, you sound weird. I go, what? I hung up. I didn't even say it. And then I just went on. I just jumped through the window, dude. It was crazy. Like, ran down the street, taking off my clothes. I was that guy. Yeah. And my friends are all running after me. Stop, stop. And then, like, hey, you got to take this. You got to take this. You got to take this. She's like, you're paranoid. I go, I'm paranoid. Later, I'm just be running through the... Everything someone said to me would fire me off.
Dang.
It would never end.
But Stevie Starlight.
I came back home, and my stepdad, Edwin's on the couch watching this thing about the guy threw something on acid to him. And I thought they had set this whole thing up for me. And like I'm sitting there, and he's like, yeah, he's doing acid. You don't ever want to do acid. Acid is a bad drug, Steve. Acid, don't do acid.
And he happened to be telling you that while you're on acid.
I thought it was all a setup.
But, yeah, of course. By the acid government.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're going to get Steve. I can sense that 100%. For some reason, when you're on acid, you're able to link everything.
Everything. Analyze,
It's all stitched together.
Totally.
And it all makes perfect sense.
Big time.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dude, it's that's why they call it a trip, because it is, when you get through the other side, man, you're just like, oh,
God,
so thankful. Glad that's over.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I can still this day just taste it and just be thankful that that's over with, man.
Could you ever do acid after that or no?
I waited 10 years to do it, and I came out here and I did it, tried it, and it was great.
Yeah.
How old were you?
15 when that happened. Wow. Yeah. I was maybe 16.
Do you honestly, and you have to be honest with me here.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think that if you're the same person, if you wouldn't have done that or did that?
Oh, no way. I would have lived a life of terror and agonizing pain and not be in touch with myself because I'm a complicated individual.
Yeah.
But I took that and it was a way that I had to do it because I wouldn't have found myself, dude. I would have been a very awkward, I'm still very awkward, but I would have been way out the gate, dude.
Mm.
I would have been living in an apartment in Texas with a chick who's like, hates me and cheats on me.
Name what?
Name Kristen or something like that. Yeah, and she would have been a whore.
Yeah.
And like I would have had to like go to work all day, you know what I mean? And it would have sucked, and I would have had short hair. And it would have not been the life I wanted, dude. I'm so thankful for all that, dude.
Dude, that's amazing because, well, here's the interesting thing is, if that had been something where it must have been the right thing because you're thankful for it.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, I went through that. I'm happy. Changed my molecular structure, dude, from the core.
Well, yeah, and you wouldn't look back on something if you weren't thankful for it, you'd be like, oh, well, no, it wasn't good for me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or if it wasn't good for you, then you wouldn't be thankful for it.
Yeah.
So obviously, the fact you're thankful for it shows that, as bizarre as it sounds, that, you know, ending up on the equivalent of 700 hits of acid was good for you.
Yeah, big time.
It was what you needed.
You never would have thought at the time of this.
Fuck no.
No, right?
Dude, I remember one time taking some, and our thing was, we were like in student council, right? So like, you know, and it's kind of nerd alert central, you know? But me and this other dude named Pat were in there, and we took some mushrooms before the student council meeting one day.
Uh-huh.
So we went into like this meeting before school, and all, you know, these like kids are in there and stuff. And Pat just he was the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he took a marker and got up on the board, and he thought it was a dry erase board. It wasn't.
Mm.
So he just takes a marker on a regular chalkboard. And he was the president, so everybody's just waiting to hear what he says.
Yeah.
And he draws a line across the chalkboard, and he goes, this is us right now. And then he draws a line like going straight kind of down and a little bit of a diagonal to the bottom of the board. And he's like, and this is where we're headed if we don't get our shit together.
Oh, my God. And you fucking saw it too, right?
Dude.
Yeah.
Meeting adjourned, he said. And then he fucking walked out, dude.
Genius.
And I stood up and fucking clapped. I thought it was like a real important thing, you know? And nobody else clapped. Like it was not.
They get it, huh?
Well, no. He'd drawn a marker on a real chalkboard that's defacing student property. Like that's all they saw was like,
oh my God.
This doesn't make any sense, bro. But
I get it, though. You're explaining it to me.
Oh, I get it.
You know?
And so I stood up and clapped. And then for the rest of the day, I was on mushrooms, and I had on this green, like, felt shirt.
Yeah.
And I remember in science class, I started just thinking that my arms were snakes, right? And I got so, like, literally for like 9 minutes, I was just looking at my fucking snake hands, like, coming to get me.
Yeah.
To the point where finally the teacher's like, hello.
Right.
And she's right here by the side of my head. Oh, God. And, like, everybody's looking at me. And she's like, what are you doing?
What did you say?
I said, I'm just babysitting these snakes. What are you doing?
Right. What's her problem?
Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, I think you need to go to the restroom. That's what she said. So she might have been used to use acid and was giving me a break.
Right, right.
And then another time we ate something at a Waffle House, and this they had a urban gentleman that was our waiter named Big Daniel. And that's even what his tag said on this thing, Big Daniel. Which I didn't know you could put big in front of your name on a name tag. That's just Daniel.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
You know, let it's people extra, decide. You know? Yeah. And he tried to fuck my buddy one time. I remember.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is that and
we
nowhere?
Were on acid.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I think, I don't know if he knew we were on acid and if he was like a pedophile or maybe he was just, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to fuck somebody and we happened to be there.
Wow.
You know? But anyway, let's listen to one more. Let's listen to another. Let's roast a little more music here.
All right. So this next one is called Shadows That Be by The Sway.
It's like a little bit of like, what do you think it sounds like?
I don't know, man. It's like got a lot of elements going on to it, you know?
Yeah.
Chick singer there. It's like, you know, it's cool.
I don't know if I'd listen to it,
you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd. It's like a little bit of Fleetwood
mixed
with like a Reba McEntire almost.
There you go.
Or
Reba McEntire is a good call.
It's got a little bit of Reba in it.
Yeah.
It's sweet sound though. Who was it?
That's The Sway.
Yeah, The Sway.
Sway, huh?
Yeah, play a little bit more and bring up the octave just or the volume just in one more.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a good little band there. Little claps going on.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing a little more claps, a little more soul in it.
Yeah, baby. I like that stuff, too.
That's good. Yeah, she can almost use, I mean, and I'm being really judgmental.
They had some
stronger pipes in there.
Yeah.
You know, or some backup sisters or something in there really rocking her deep, you know?
Yeah, but don't get discouraged. Keep singing. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We like it.
Yeah, and we're just being judgmental because we said we were going to.
It's our job right here.
All right, let's take up another tune there,
all right,
Christopher.
So this next one is called Jump by Matt Guerra, and this one is just instrumental.
Okay.
All right. Gay bathhouse.
Oh, definitely, boy. There you go. And there's a shark in the water.
Oh, yeah, bathtub.
Yeah.
Not bad, though. I kind of like it. Something's telling me I dig it. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes me kind of smile and feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I want to see where it's going. It almost feels like it's somebody's perspective.
Right, but there's no vocals, too. Like you said, you're going to be waiting for something for a while. That's a smart little trick they're doing there.
Yeah.
You know, leave you on forever. You'll probably just be listening to the thing for the rest of your life. Like, damn, this guy likes my shit. You won't stop listening to it.
Yeah, it feels like the background music in somebody's head if you're like a really cool person.
Uh-huh, or The Matrix or something like that. Yeah.
That sounds good, Chris. Thanks.
That's cool.
Who was that again?
The song was called Jump by Matt Guerra.
Jump by Matt Guerra. I like it, man.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Let's fire up another one, man. What else we got?
Okay, so this next song is called Closer to Myself by Astrophobia.
Okay. Astrophobia, that sounds like the antithesis of Stevie Starlight.
Yeah, man.
If you have astrophobia...
Modern rock.
Is that what that's called, modern rock?
I think so. It's making me move. It's not my style of music. I don't even know if I'm into it, but I was thinking my legs move for some reason.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like it's just like a genre of music.
It
fits like
for sure, man. It's definitely fitting into a genre.
Yeah.
Of modern rock.
It doesn't feel like a new sound.
No. Not at all.
Right.
1997.
Yeah.
Whiskey a Go Go. Death metal bands trying to meet core.
Right.
But they're conforming to modern rock.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that a hard thing with music? That seems like one of the pitfalls is just falling into playing what is already there.
It is. If you're going to go out there ever thinking you're going to do something that's like fucking like to try to please someone, you can't ever do that. Mm. That's why the genuine people that make music, they're making music. They make music, so they're not trying to fit a mold, but and they're really making music for themselves. People say they make music for other people, they're lying. I read a great article about David Bowie. He says, I make music for other people. Good, that's good for him, and I love David Bowie. But I make music for myself. The shit that I like, hopefully someone else is going to like. Because you can't make shit that you don't like. You know what I mean? I can't stand that. That kind of just grinds my gears when I see that. They're trying to conform to a style, and they're only selling themselves short because people aren't going to like it anyways.
Yeah.
They're trying, and I'm not trying to boost myself up saying
no,
better.
No, it doesn't sound like it. You're just sharing. I think that's a real truth. It's like you're only going to get so far that way.
It's true, man. If people have heard it, that kind of stuff, and maybe I would fit a certain genre that's been done, that's fine. I'm just saying... you can't go into it thinking that because there's no way out. You're closing to a paper bag or a bag.
Yeah, there's nowhere else to go then.
No.
For you.
Exactly.
As a person.
Precisely.
There's other trails you can follow of other sounds, but there's never going to be your own path.
It's not easy either. I'm not saying like it's the formula, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I see it with comedy too. I mean, there were times when I first started out, I would tell jokes that sounded kind of like Mitch Hedberg, and then I would do stuff that's what everybody was doing because people were just obsessed with him at the time, and he had such a Cantonese. No, what's it called? Cantonese
cadence.
Is a religion.
The cadence.
Yeah. And so people, you know, would say...
Cantonese, what is he, Asian? He's like, I don't know, Asian, next time he was Asian. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of him lately. Now, he's great, genius, you know, because he's not here with us anymore, but he wasn't like the best. You're funnier than him, dude.
Well, he's not, I mean, he... Yeah,
you
he,
know that, right?
He gets embodied, and he gets pushed into this thing like he was one of the best.
Because he's dead, you know?
Yeah.
And luckily, you're still alive, and you got a long way to go. And
I still have a lot of time to really fuck it up.
That's a challenge, man.
That's true, huh?
Yeah. Stay true to yourself, man. You're going to go as far as you ever wanted to go.
Yeah.
You already have in a lot of ways, man. It's really cool.
It's been fun, man. This past year's really, really been great. I think just being accepted more by some of my peers, you know, because for some reason inside of me, you know, I think we all just want somehow some type of acceptance.
Right, of course.
And it might even just be we want to accept ourselves.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But yeah, I think...
To live inside your skin. I mean, it's, for everyone, that's got to be a challenge. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy fucking cages we're in, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Some crazy cages.
Big time.
What else do we have, Chris?
All right. So for this next one, not only do we get a lot of like music submissions, but we also get people like writing us theme songs.
Wow.
And sending this in.
It's really cool.
So this next one, I'm not sure who it's by, but they wrote us this theme song to play on the show.
Okay. Oh, this seems like a rapist in like 1985.
Totally. I don't think this fits the Yvonne vibe at all, dude.
This is like a rapist in 85. In 85.
Whoa, he's saying Theo Vaughn there too. Listen.
Right. This sounds like kind of a chubby guy who got like stuck in a big pipe.
I hear a black guy with glasses working on some console he hasn't quite figured out yet.
Yeah, it's like his first attempt ever.
Totally. He's in an elevator making elevator music, but he doesn't get it. That's not really how you do that.
Who made that, Chris? Who was it?
Well, we don't. I have to look up the email and we can put it in the description, but it's not attached.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Awesome, man. What else do we have?
Okay.
Yeah, that seemed like a pervert in like 85. That seemed like some dude who just took something out of the box and plugged it in. Yeah. That's the first thing he did.
Yeah, might be a few backing tracks already going on there. He just puts his voice on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done.
All right, so this next one is called Death Creeps Acoustic, and also they did not include their name.
Damn, some anonymous submissions here. Boy, wow. Yeah. Anonymous Submission, that sounds like a good name for a band and a sex move, if you think about it.
The Anonymous Submission, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the best band names.
And a wrestling move.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
All of them.
All that.
Bing. Where do you go?
All right.
When your thoughts are broken, it's hard to see when you've gone blind.
A little bit of Soundgarden.
Something that, yeah, I hear it too. It's hard to become that, but it's good.
When the last word is spoken, it's good to see you've lost.
Very much, I hear the Soundgarden a lot.
A little bit, yeah, yeah. Like a, or some influence maybe.
Definitely, dude. Called it.
This seems like some dude.
When there's none to borrow,
he's trying to be Soundgarden.
Yeah, trying to be Soundgarden. Seems like some guy jerking off like it works after hours at like a kennel.
Yeah.
When all the dogs are asleep.
Yeah. You know, picture Chris Cornell taped on there. You know what I
mean? Yeah. It's some guy just kind of jerking off, and maybe you listen to like some dogs snore in the distance, maybe. By a lamp.
Supposed to be like washing them and stuff, right? He just goes in there and practices.
Yeah, that's pretty, pretty cool. Wild, that's man. Pretty cool. That's good.
Yeah, it's got a good voice and a decent vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good vibe. I'd go watch that guy like evolve a little bit and see what else he did.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I don't know if I'd go see him or buy his album, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would hope if he were my neighbor that he would get a little bit better. But it sounds like he seems kind of possibly a little more than just like
good,
curious.
Though.
He sounds dedicated.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this next one is actually my favorite one. It's by a rapper named Jay Savage. And
okay.
We actually played this one a while back, a long time ago on the show.
Okay.
So we're just going to give him another take.
Okay, this is a rap by Jay Savage.
My favorite comedian's name is Theo Vaughn. I always be laughing whenever he go on. I download the episode as soon as it drops.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Hear that celebrate living, baby, right from the top. Hit a... This past weekend was amazing.
He's a white guy.
He got so hungry that he almost ate an Asian. He goes to Denny's even though he fucking hates it. Because he always sees a beard on his waitress. You got a problem with his hair, you should save it. He knows it sucks, he's just trying to make a statement. He used to jerk himself a lot, he used to spank it. His brother tried to touch his dick under a blanket.
Yeah, he's been watching a lot of episodes, this guy, yeah.
A bit longer, take your date to his show, he might dong her. But he'll apologize, because that's the dark arts. Like people calling in and saying that they eat farts. Drug-induced gay sex at a rest stop. But they ain't resting, they aggressively ingest pop. My dude Theo is a hamster expert, a guinea pig prodigy. He's really smart. You would think he had a law degree. Someone should give his ass a PhD in mockery. He talks about his feelings, and that really means a lot to me. Plus, he's been in bed with fucking Joan Rivers. Coming to the stage is a stone-cold killer.
Yeah.
So go ahead and drop his ass a couple billers on Patreon, because there ain't nobody realer. Theo.
Dang.
Dude's fucking great tight, dude.
Jay Savage. Jay Savage.
Yeah.
Hit him.
If you get lyrics that really mean something and put them together like that from like true events... Plus, he's like, dude, he's on your jock like a motherfucker. He loves you.
Yeah, he might be also a he could be a stalker, but he's at least a lyrical stalker.
Yeah, he should have put that Patreon link. Because you say Patreon, that would have been really the extra mile for you. You know what I mean?
That lyrical stalker.
Yeah,
man.
It's pretty good though. He's talented. I was waiting for the beat to come in though, or like a little bit of music. But he's just
no music,
free flowing. You know, that's good, free flowing.
Yeah, I think it's it was nice of him to do that.
Yeah.
That was real nice of him to do that. What else we got, Chris? Is that it?
Okay, now we got one more. I thought we'd end on an old classic. This is a submission called The Latino Lawyer by Tiny Sandhu.
Oh, okay. And this actually isn't an old classic. This is a brand new one. Yeah, this is a brand new song from Tiny Sandhu.
Okay.
And Tiny has submitted music over the past year, and we don't even know who he is.
Really?
And he's just a man from out there in the middle of nowhere, and he could... You know, and it's really crazy. Some people think he's in India, and some people think he's just in our hearts. But he emails us real songs that he puts together. So let's hear that one.
Get that 60s psychedelic guitar going.
Yeah.
Feel like we're at a love in. San Francisco, 1966, right here, baby.
Where's Harvey Milk, baby?
Yeah. You know where he was. He's working a little too hard on that wah-wah pedal. He needs to just take that down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Put a high-pass filter on that thing, too. Nice little lip rip there. Doing some little licks there. It sounds like he's in a room far away. But it's good, though. I like it. Not bad.
Wow, that's it, huh?
Yeah, it's all of them.
That's pretty Tiny cool. Sand, too. That's not a new bad. One from him, yeah. Yeah, not bad. He does get a lot of wah-wah. He gets that wah-wah going.
He's just chugging that, you know what I mean? But he's got a little bit of that bass filter coming. He's got wah-wah supposed to be, because what it does, it takes the frequencies from low to high, especially a sweep. Whoosh, but if you do that fast, that's that sound you're going to get, right? I like it a lot. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
That's that Tiny Sand, too, and that's the last one we got.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we get so many great music submissions, you know, from like JP from Alabama. We used to play a lot of his songs. And Jesse Lucero, we played a bunch of his songs as well, too. So nice. It's kind of cool. We have this like musical
community. Yeah, dude. Definitely do.
Yeah, we've had a good vibe of music coming in, man. And and you certainly have done that as well. I want to give you one of these wallets, too, bro.
Oh, wow.
So pick out one of these. I don't know if you want this black one or this gold one.
Awesome.
Pick one that you want.
Beautiful.
And that's from one of our sponsors, Ridge.
I love that vibe. Well, that's nice, dude.
So, yeah, dude, it's just a front wallet. So now you would take all your stuff out and you put it into this.
Yeah, of course.
And that's you put it in that front.
Which one do you think I should get? This one or that one? Which one do you go with?
Let me see what I got. I got this.
Is that the black one?
This one's kind of gray, maybe. This one's like a pewter.
All right. I'm going to go with this one, Theo.
The gold?
Yeah, is that cool?
Yeah, you got it,
man. Thank you, bro. I really appreciate that, man.
No worries, dude. And I want to listen, and I want to thank you for coming in and doing our music roast.
Yeah, of course.
And I know people can find your dates or anywhere you're going to be performing or any of your music where.
Well, basically, this last 2 months, I've been recording this new album. It's going really well.
Really?
I'm recording it on tape, dude, way out in Riverside.
Wow.
I found this awesome guy that has his old board, just loves my music. He's not like charging me, just wants to, and we've been doing it the right way, man. And it's going to be the best thing I've ever recorded. And all the songs in there are fucking hitters.
Dang.
You get them all, dude.
Dude, we'd love to at least have one, you know.
Yeah. I'll send them to you. You guys put on whatever you want, and that'd be awesome. But it's the best thing I've ever done. I've been working on it for 2.5 months. It's almost done, and I'm going to have it ready for the summer. Dang. And I got a bunch of dates coming out. I'm going to get this little tour I'm going to go on. But you guys can catch me at the Viper Room and stuff. I'm going to have a few dates like that coming out in the next month.
Okay.
But I will definitely send you that info.
Yeah, let me know.
If you ever want to put out if one episode, if you put my song on there, just you can flip that little vibe on there. But I'll have a big show coming up soon.
Cool, man. And so much, I think, you know, like the spirit of you letting us use your music. You know, I think it's just a good vibe for us to try to keep in here, you know, and something that we want to try and do.
Well, I really appreciate you guys saying that, and inspires me to keep going too, man.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, even just seeing you today just kind of reminded me, I think, like a lot about, you know, like what kind of some of, you know, what the pot, like what this is all about. You know, it's like, you know, we want to, you know, it's so often, especially in this, in Hollywood, and even in the world today, it's like we want to keep things to ourselves. Mm. You know, we don't want to really share them as much without some sort of gain or some sort of, you know. But that wasn't, you know, you didn't say anything like that. You know, you were just like, sure, man. You know, if people are going to love it, man, let's love it.
Yeah, I'm all about that, dude, about the love, man.
Yeah.
Because people are like that nowadays. That breeds hate, dude. A lot of haters, whether like haters, all these haters. I'm like, what's a hater? I honestly don't know, like, too many haters, dude.
Yeah.
But if they are, they keep it really tight to themselves. They don't let me know it. That's good. I'd rather have it that way. Don't fucking bother me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't bother me with your hatred.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, the fact that that you did that for us, you know, I think, and that's something I think a spirit that we'll try to keep in, alive in here, you know, that Stevie Starlight vibe. You're
beautiful, man. Thank you for saying that.
Dude, you bet, man. Can you put it on for me right now, bro?
Yeah, Stevie Starlight?
Yeah, I just have to listen to it, man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my
God. There we go. Yeah, boy, yeah, that's baby. That hit. I bet cats love this song too, dude. Yeah.
Like Joey Diaz, cats. I was like, America be
higher than a mountain.
Yeah.
Set me free.
just don't say goodbye.
There you go, Stevie.
Yeah, baby.
It's you and me. Enjoy the destination.
Nation.
Nation.
Fantasy. Painted on the wall. It's never too late to come over. Time slips away from you and me now.
Yeah!
So don't hesitate.
There you go.
To come over. Why must we wait when we're alive?
Wow.
Right, baby.
That's it, man.
Take my time. Chances come along. Valentine. Nothing could go wrong. Flower beans.
Flower beans.
Shining on the moonlight.
Moonlight. Moonlight. Moonlight.
See your dreams. I'm an angel of the night. It's never too late to come over. Time slips away from you and me now.
Yeah. Can I sing it with you,
yeah,
bro?
Please.
So don't hesitate to come over.
Yeah, baby.
Why must we wait when we're alive?
That's it, baby.
That's good, man.
The air drums going what?
Yeah. Love this,
yes,
part, bro.
Yeah. It's all a cartoon vibe.
We need some fucking cats. I wish we had more animals in here, bro.
Get a few animals in here.
Oh, yeah.
We need allow it, right?
We need some snakes.
There's that hitter.
Bro, that's it. Hitter, bro. Climbing up the chimney right there, yeah. Bro.
Yeah. It's beautiful, man.
That's
I manifested this. Not to sound like I was so a fan, but like I'm a fan. Always will be. But like I was seeing your soul and your energy, man. I'm like, man, that's a lot how I am, dude. I want to connect with Theo and like kind of like level with him a little bit. I sent you that song. And I was so pleased with your response, man. I felt like, man, there's more people like that need to be out in the world sharing love, doing what you do, man. And I was just very, truly honored. So I just want to
oh, thanks,
say
man.
Thank you, man.
Well, I think it's a blessing and a reason why you came, you know, here today, you know, to be with us. And because I think some of that is just a reminder, you know, of what our whole plan is about here and the things that we're trying to do, you know. And I think, you know, can always use doses of that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easy to, you know, it's easy to forget when you start, you know, in your, you know, in your kitchen or in your brother's closet, and then, you know, you slowly just, you know, things get a little bit more, just bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and not even much bigger, but a little, or as they change.
Yeah.
It's easy to forget where, you know, just kind of where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And just to remember, like, what your heart was thinking then.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Be thankful.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's never too late, man.
That's right, baby.
It's never too late, bro.
Yep.
Why must we wait when we're alive, baby? Dude, that's the best line ever, man. Stevie, thank you so much for everything,
bro.
Man.
And thank you all the fans of this past weekend for being really supportive and very cool with your comments and sending me love and liking my stuff. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
You bet, man. We'll send a lot more over. And thank you.
My pleasure, bro.
Yep, Brittany, thank you.
America, be
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jonathan Kite, and welcome to Kite Club, a podcast where I'll be sharing thoughts on things like current events, stand-up stories, and seven ways to pleasure your partner. The answer may shock you. Sometimes I'll interview my friends, sometimes I won't. And as always, I'll be joined by the voices in my head.
You have three new voice messages.
A lot of people are talking about Kite Club. I've been talking about Kite Club for so long, longer than anybody else. So great.
Hey, sweetheart, here's the deal. Anyone who doesn't listen to Kite Club is a dodgy bloody wanker. Do you know what I mean?
Hi, I'll take a quarter pounder with cheese and a McFlurry.
Sorry, sir, but our ice cream machine is broken.
I think Tom Hanks just butt-dialed me. Anyway, first rule of Kite Club is, tell everyone about Kite Club. Second rule of Kite Club is, tell everyone about Kite Club. Third rule, like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or watch us on YouTube, yeah? And yes, don't worry, my Brad Pitt impression will get better.